Welcome to this demonstration, exploring SQL Server 2012 Data Analysis Expressions Improvements. My name is Peter Myers. I'm a SQL Server MVP and a mentor with SolidQ. This demonstration continues from the previous demonstration whereby I created a tabular project. So note that while there's no requirement that you saw the earlier presentation, if you do plan to watch all of the presentations in this series, we strongly recommend you watch the tabular project demonstration first. And then you'll see how we can use the improvements in DAX to extend and enrich the tabular model. So I switch across to the model that was developed in the previous demonstration. And what we see in the design of this, first of all, is a sales table and a date table. And you may note that there are two relationships between these tables. One is expressed in a solid line, the other is a dashed line. The solid represents the active relationship, and there must be one active relationship between two tables. If you do, in your design, include multiple relationships between tables, then all other relationships will be inactive. So something to be aware of is that inactive relationships are not used by default. They can only be used explicitly within calculations, and that's the first part of this demonstration. So the requirement I have in this model is to introduce a year-to-date calculation, one that allows us to produce year-to-date by ordered, and one that is by shipped date. And note that the latter for ship date is using the inactive relationship. So I navigate across to the sales table in grid view. And I've already built and designed and created four measures in the previous demonstration. Here in the calculations area, I introduce a new calculation. And that will be that the sales year to date for ordered will use the total year to date function. I pass in the sales measure, and then I reference where the date column is in the model. And because I'm using fiscal periods that end on the 30th of June every year, the optional parameter here is to specify 0630. In other words, financial year finishes on the 6th month on the 30th day. I press enter, and that introduces a new explicit measure into the model. And then in the properties window, I go ahead and update the format property to currency. Now my intention is to add a second and similar calculation, but to allow the year-to-date to accumulate over the shipped date values. So I have a snippet to support me with this. The snippet is sales year-to-date for shipped equals the total year-to-date function, and this time it uses the calculate function. So calculate the sales measure, and then we have this new DAX function called useRelationship. And it takes two columns that are involved in the relationship, so from the sales ship date key across to the date table's date key, and then the rest of the function is much the same. So I copy this entire measure expression, and then I paste that into the formula bar, and then I update its format property to currency also. So to test this, I go ahead and on the model menu, I analyze in Excel. And essentially what this does is opens up an Office Data Connection file that points to the Workspace database. What that does, it tells Excel to launch, create a pivot table that connects to that Office Data Connection file, and we see that here. And so now I can introduce both of those new measures, and then here on the date dimension, I drag the fiscal hierarchy down to the row labels. I can then go ahead and expand the levels of the hierarchy, and when I right-click this quarter member, I can go ahead and hide that level of the hierarchy. So now it's clear for us to see all of the months of the fiscal year. We get to see the ordered date sales accumulation, and note the values are different here because it's using the inactive relationship to show us what the ship date values look like. So this is how we can work with inactive relationships. They must be explicitly used using the use relationship function in calculations like the measure I've just added. So the second part of this demonstration is to take a closer look at the salesperson table. When I created this table in the previous demonstration, I included the employee key, which is involved in the relationship to the sales table, and also the parent employee key. And if you can appreciate what a self-referencing relationship does, it allows us to produce what's known as a parent-child hierarchy. In other words, each salesperson has a relationship to another salesperson. Now let me point out first of all that this table consists of some 17 rows. They're all the salespeople that we have at the AdventureWorks company. I introduce a new calculator column, which will be based on a new function available to DAX in SQL Server 2012. And this is the path function. And the path function wants to know what the key is and what the parent key column is. Now in this demonstration, I expect this. It actually creates an error, and let me explain why. The purpose of the path function is to produce a delimited string, a pipe delimited string, of all of the keys to the current key of the row. All right, let's take a look at this. The problem I have is that we have someone like Stephen Jiang here, who has a parent employee key of 277, and yet we have no employee that uses that key. In other words, the boss of Stephen Jiang is not part of this table. So what I need to do is come to the table properties, and I go ahead and I modify the query. So I'm going to replace this with another snippet, and take a look at this snippet. It says, okay, let's introduce if it's a salesperson or if the employee key equals 277. So I've updated the where clause. And then also I have a calculation here that says if the employee key is 277, then return 277. It just so happens that that employee relates to another employee. So I'm ensuring that for the purpose of a parent-child hierarchy, this employee will be the root of the hierarchy. If it's not 277, then just return the parent employee key, and then alias this column as the parent employee key. So I take this, and I paste this in, and note the original 17 rows now become 18. Or it should become 18. Let me just check what's going on here. Table properties. It didn't paste for some reason. Or it didn't copy for some reason. Okay, that's much better. And so now we see a result of 18 rows, and we see that our path function actually works now. So that is a requirement. The path function is only going to work if that parent key maps to a key that is found within the table. I now go ahead and rename this column to become path, and I don't want end users actually knowing this exists. This is really an intermediate calculation that we'll be using, as you'll see. So I hide this column from the client tools. And now I introduce another calculator column, and this time using the path item function. So another new DAX function that allows me to extract from a path a position. So in this case, I'm requesting the first position from the path in that row. And what we see in this column then is that we get the values 277 returned. And if you take a look in the values in the path column, you'll see that all rows have key 277 at the top. So that's helpful. It's telling us for each row the very first position within the parent-child string. Now, the key value of 277 isn't so helpful. What I would like to see is the name of the salesperson. And that's where I can introduce another new addition to the DAX library available in SQL Server 2012. So the lookup value function allows me to look up a value based on a condition. What am I looking up? The salesperson value. What is the condition? Where the employee key matches the result of the path item function. And now when I press enter, we get to see that the name Brian Welker appears for all rows. And now I can rename this column, and I understand that it represents the director. For the next calculated column, I'm simply going to copy this calculation and paste it in, and modify the position used in the path item to 2. And so now what we're getting is the next level down in that path. And we can see Stephen Jiang all have a name except Brian Welker himself. Brian, being the actual director, doesn't have a manager. So let me rename this column to become manager. I don't need to do the third level because I already have the salesperson column here. But in a true parent-child hierarchy, you may not actually know how many levels there are. It's just convenience in this case that I know that there are three levels to the organizational structure. Okay, so the last part of the demonstration is to create a hierarchy to allow the navigation from director to manager to salesperson. Here in the salesperson table, I already have a sales organization hierarchy, and I simply drag the director in to become the first level, and then the manager to become the next level. By the way, this hierarchy was already there. I'd created it just prior to the demonstration. Then I go ahead and hide both of these columns. And let's take a look at what this looks like when we analyze in Excel. From the toolbar, I can also launch the analyze from Excel. I'll introduce the sales measure, and then I'll drag the sales organization hierarchy down to the rows. And then now I can go ahead and expand down the levels to see who the director is, who the manager is, and who the individual salespeople are. So while parent-child hierarchies are not natively supported in tabular model development, we can simulate them using the new library of or the new family of functions provided in DAX. So path provides a delimited string of all of the keys to the current row. The path item allows us to extract a key at a particular position. And then with the assistance of the lookup value function, we can look up something more descriptive like the salesperson name to provide a label for that key. So there's the two parts of DAX that I wish to demonstrate in this demonstration. They include working with inactive relationships, simulating parent-child. Thank you very much for watching this demonstration.